This is Hoda Kotb from Joy 101 with Hoda Kotb. Okay, have you ever showed up late to the game and your friends already saved you a seat, your drink, even a plate? That's looking out. That's having your back. And that's exactly what AT&T does with the AT&T Guarantee. They know staying connected matters, so they actually guarantee a network that comes through when it counts. AT&T has connectivity you can depend on, or they'll proactively make it right. Just like that friend who takes care of things before you even ask. AT&T, connecting changes everything. Terms and conditions apply. Visit att.com/guarantee for details.
Bite into a stacked sandwich made with Hero Bread. And the only thing you'll think is, delicious. You won't think it has up to 19 grams protein, 11 to 32 grams of fiber, or just 0 to 5 grams net carbs. But it does. Hero Bread. No compromises, just loaves, buns, tortillas, bagels, and noodles packed with flavor. Right now, get 10% off at hero.co with code IHEART. That's hero.co, code IHEART. All figures per serving of Hero Bread. See nutrition facts on hero.co.
10 or 15 minutes after you called, I had this really, really clear impression that I needed to stop. And I was like, oh, and my husband's like, well, what time was that? And it was exactly the time that I felt to drop to my knees. And I said, oh, what happened? And he said, well, I was walking and I felt to stop and I didn't know why. And I started looking around and right in front of me, there was a rattlesnake, but it was blended into all of the rocks and the dust.
Before we dive in, just a quick favor. If you're enjoying what we're doing at Angels Among Us, please take a second to rate and review the show. And if something in today's episode touches your heart, please share it with a friend. Welcome to Angels Among Us. We truly believe we are surrounded by angels, sometimes seen, sometimes unseen.
Sometimes they come through a whisper of comfort, an unseen hand of protection, or an unmistakable presence that reminds us heaven may be closer than we think.
And sometimes angels look a lot like us, the people God places in our path at exactly the right moment.
Here, real people share real stories of faith, miracles, heartbreak, hope, and the moments that remind us that we are never truly alone.
We're Brent and Michaela, and wherever you are in your story, we hope these stories help you recognize the angels around you.
And most of all, we hope you feel just how much God loves you. Thanks for joining us on the Angels Among Us podcast.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of Angels Among Us. Brent and Michaela here, and as always, we are so excited for our guest, Alicia Trask, is joining us. I came across Alicia, it was a couple months ago now. I saw a video that you posted about your son. Not a video, it was kind of a, well, I guess it was kind of a short video, but not of the actual event. Anyway, but your caption and everything, I was emotional and in tears and thought, that's a story that we need to have on the show. And then I started scrolling on your stuff more and I was like, holy cow, I have to get Alicia on the show. And then I spoke to you on the phone and you told me about other experiences that I hadn't seen yet. And I was like, holy cow, I have to get Alicia on the show. So she's here. We're so excited. Michaela hasn't heard really anything other than the first clip that I shared with her. So I'm excited to see her reaction also. Alicia is, I can confidently say she's on a little bit different level spiritually than I am. I'll just say that. I am. So we're excited that you're here. We'll go ahead and turn it over to you, Alicia. You can give a little bit more of an introduction, tell everybody a little bit more about yourself, and then get going on what you have for everybody.
Yeah. So I'm Alicia. I grew up mostly in Utah. I had a little bit of a non-traditional growing up experience. So my parents were both addicts and they never really had jobs. And so we were, as a result, we were homeless almost my entire childhood. So we lived with sometimes with my grandma in like small, small doses, but she came with her own set of traumas and hard experiences. And we lived on Indian reservations and in our car and in the mountains a couple times. So it was just kind of crazy. My husband and I met at a carnival and we found Jesus together. And we have four kids. We have three girls and then my youngest son, Cooper. And I just love sharing stories that kind of resonate. I always feel like the times that I feel closest to my Savior is like when I'm listening to something somebody else is sharing, a personal experience, and it kind of just brings me back home. And I'd felt a couple of years ago to start sharing some of the stories that I have online, and it's just been really, really good for me in the sense that it reminds me that every day we have a choice to listen and to be a servant in the hands of Christ. So that's a little bit about me.
Thank you. And I'll give everybody a quick teaser. You had mentioned your husband, and when we spoke on the phone, you said that he has multiple experiences as well. And so hint, hint, we're getting him on the show also. So you listeners, you'll get to hear them in back-to-back weeks.
Yeah. So fun fact about my husband, we actually grew up really similar and he had a lot of the same background. And so when we started dating, we kind of realized that about each other and we both just wanted something so drastically different than what we had growing up. And we knew that the only way to do that was through Jesus Christ. So
that's so awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, go ahead and jump right in. I don't know what story you wanted to share first, but we'll just give you the floor to go ahead and teach everybody.
Perfect. Okay. So I'll probably start with the story that you came across my account. That was actually pretty recent. So we live pretty close to the mountains and my son Cooper is 15. He's kind of an adventurous kid. He loves to go out and do all kinds of crazy things and he'll usually tell me what he's doing. But a couple months ago, it was a Sunday, I was standing in our living room and I just had this thought, Cooper's not home. Where is he? And I kind of tried to look his location and it wasn't pulling up. And so I had my husband call him and he said, oh, go out front. You can see me. And so he went out front and he was looking all over for him, but he couldn't see him. And he said, no, you got to zoom in on the mountain. And he literally climbed this entire mountain. It was at the very top. And so my husband took a video of him and it was this tiny little white speck. And we were both like, oh my gosh, buddy, like you should not go out hiking by yourself and without telling anybody. So we said a quick prayer that he would be fine. And, you know, we kind of went about our business. Like he was going to come down. He'd done it several times. And I was in the kitchen doing the dishes. And I just, all of a sudden, the Spirit said, you need to get on your knees and you need to pray. You need to pray for Cooper. And so I instantly, like soapy hands and all, just dropped to my knees and I started praying. And I was like, just bless him. And I love to pray with the Spirit. I always ask, like when I'm praying specifically for somebody, that the Spirit will guide me in my words. And so I prayed like so hard. And I got up and I went to my husband and told him, and he tried calling him and we couldn't get a hold of him. And then about maybe 45 minutes later, he called and he's like, can you come pick me up? I'm at the base of the mountain. I went down a different way. And so we went and got him and was talking to him. And he said, oh, it was so crazy. He said about 15 minutes after you called, 10 or 15 minutes after you called, I had this really, really clear impression that I needed to stop. And I was like, oh, and my husband's like, well, what time was that? And it was exactly the time that I felt to drop to my knees. And I said, oh, what happened? And he said, well, I was walking and I felt to stop and I didn't know why. And I started looking around and right in front of me, there was a rattlesnake, but it was blended into all of the rocks and the dust. And he went on to say that there were several other experiences. There was a moment where he was walking and again, he just felt you need to stop. And if he had gone forward like a few more feet, he would have fallen off of a cliff. And so it was just kind of like that the whole entire time, like all the way down. He just said, I felt to put my hand here instead of there. I felt to take one step here instead of there. And he was pretty shaken up. Like when he got in the car, he was shaky and he was a little bit nervous. But after I told him, like, we've been praying for him and that I felt specifically to get on my knees and pray, he was like, wow, that was amazing. So he's kind of a cool kid, but crazy what it does to your mom heart, right?
Oh, I can only imagine for sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So I kind of wanted to jump in a little bit to a couple experiences that I had. One experience that I had growing up, and I feel like it kind of sets the tone for a couple of the other stories that I wanted to share. So like I said, like we grew up very non-traditional, and along with that came lots of traumas that my parents had carried with them. And my dad was, even though he's since passed on, but I loved him. But he was very, very abusive. And I was trying to think of the first time that I'd ever really had an experience with the spirit or with angels. And this story came to my mind from when I was 6 years old. So I was in kindergarten, and as kindergartners are, they kind of just talk. And I was at school, and I had shared a couple of things that were not things that my parents wanted the teachers to know, because it would involve, DCFS and most possibly getting taken away. And so I came home from school, and of course, the school calls, and a social worker calls, and my dad gets off the phone, and he's just so angry, so angry. And he just started lashing out at me, and my dad hit us like a lot. And it wasn't just like, a spanking, it was like pretty severe. And I had gone up to my room, and I was in my room, and he came in, and he had had a broomstick. And this is kind of sad, so sorry, but this is just part of what happened. But he had pinned me against the bed with a broomstick against my throat. And I was just crying, but then all of a sudden I stopped being able to breathe. And I just, in my heart, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna die. Like, this is the last moment I'm going to be living. And instantly, even though we didn't grow up with God, like we knew, I knew about him. I had friends that had told me about things. My parents talked a little bit about him, but I just instantly started praying. And I was like, Lord, like help me to be able to get out of this situation, help me to be able to live. And it was so crazy because my dad was very close to me with this broomstick. And then all of a sudden, there were two men standing right behind them. And these men were dressed in white, and they had a glowing countenance. And they both placed their hand on his shoulder, each one of them, but their eyes were fixed on me. And as soon as their hands were placed on his shoulder, there was this feeling that just washed over the room. And all of a sudden, his face changed and his eyes changed and his body completely relaxed. And he just dropped the broomstick and walked out of the room. And I instantly knew that after that moment that I could call on God. Like, I was 6 years old, and I just knew, I knew I could call on God. And there were so many experiences like that growing up where my dad would come in and he would be so aggressive and angry. And I would pray in the middle of that. And all of a sudden, the same thing would happen. He would soften and he would leave. And so I fast forward, I'm just going to fast forward a little bit. So that was kind of how we grew up. It was lots of tension, lots of anger, lots of physical and emotional abuse. But when I had my second daughter, she was about 3 months old, and my dad had committed suicide. And I was super afraid that he was just going to go straight to hell. Like, I'm like, this guy is going to hell, and he is. I just don't think there's anything anybody can do about it. But it was also something that felt so unsettling to me, because even when people are abusive to you, you can still feel love for them. You can still have compassion for them. And they, even when they're your family, you can still have like that duality of anger and that duality of love. And I just tried so hard to gather up all the love that I could, and I prayed. And I prayed like so much for my dad. And I was like, Lord, just help him to be forgiven, help him to be able to accept the things that he went through and the things that were difficult for him, and help me also to be able to feel that peace of knowing that he's okay. And that went on for like probably 6 weeks, like of just this constant yearning in my heart to know that things would be okay. And one morning, my husband had gotten up early with the girls, and he'd taken care of them. He's letting me sleep in, like, you know, good husbands do. And I woke up, and there was a light in my room. And it was in an area of my room that there was no light source. But this light was so bright that it was almost as if the sun were existing in this space. And as I kind of fixed upon it, all of a sudden, it started to dissipate and I saw a figure standing there. And as I looked, I realized it was my dad. And he was in complete white. He had a white suit on, a white tie. And he was radiant, more radiant than I could have ever even imagined myself believing he could be. And he looked young and he looked unburdened. And I said to him, "Dad," and he just looked at me and he said, "Hi, baby girl." Oh, and that was something that my dad only said to me when I was really young. It was like the moments before it got really bad, he would call me his baby girl. And I looked at him and he said, hi, baby girl. I just need you to know I'm okay. And I found Jesus Christ. And instantly I understood it wasn't, I know a lot of times people talk about experiences like that, and it's like their mind is downloaded with this feeling and this information. It was like almost instantly I understood that the atonement of Jesus Christ was more than just removing his sins. I understood that he was able to be made whole and perfect because Jesus Christ died for all of the things that had made him the way he was. And it was the first time in my life that I truly understood that people's actions and choices were not just because they were evil. It wasn't because they were mean. It was literally because of all of these accumulated experiences had brought them to the person that they were. And that when we die and when we face our Savior and when we're kneeling at his feet, even those things are removed. And he said to me, "I just need you to tell mom that I'm waiting for her and that I'll be waiting for her." And I just kind of nodded. Like, it was like, I feel like looking back, I wish I'd had so much more to say, but everything that I had been asking was literally just being told to me inside of my heart and mind. And I blinked and he was literally gone. So kind of cool.
Kind of.
Cool. So I feel like that experience for me literally has helped me to understand other people. Like, I will have a lot of people come into my life, as we do, and some of them are filled with trauma and some of them are filled with, you know, other things that are bothering them. But it's almost like I can't hold a grudge anymore. Like, I literally will, like, people could do something so terrible to me and instantly it's like my heart just forgives them because of that knowledge and that understanding that the Spirit gave me in that moment.
Well, I think that I just want to add something really quick. Like, I think that it's so easy for us to judge other people. I mean, in this story, it's so easy for me to just think of our 6-year-old in that position, and having Brent do something like that is just like unimaginable. I could not even think about that. But at the same time, like, you question, okay, well, first, like, did he learn that somewhere? And maybe not. Maybe your grandparents were great people. I don't know. But it's so easy for us to just think of that and judge right off the bat and without really knowing the backstory. And I love that you got that opportunity to see him in a completely different light. And yeah, that's such a beautiful, beautiful story. I'm a little jealous that you got that.
I needed it. I definitely needed it. 100%.
Yes, absolutely.
I think before that moment, I had so much anger about the way I was raised. I think, you know, I grew up that way. It was like what it was. But then as soon as I had kids, and I was especially holding my first daughter in my arms, like literally like minutes after she was born, my first thought was, how could my parents done all of these things when I could never do that to this precious baby.
Well, and how did you break that? Like, how did you, because there's so many people that go towards what their parents, you know, taught them. And then there's people like you that obviously wanted nothing to do with it. Like, how do you break that chain?
I think that story, like that experience for me, it shifted something in me, because before that, I felt so much anger for that 2-ish years that I had children. And that lack of understanding. And I think that really helped me. And I wish I could say instantly all of those trauma responses were gone. I wish that instantly I could be like, okay, when my 2-year-old was feeling fussy and angry and throwing things, that my initial reaction was not to hit them, but it was. Like, as terrible as that sounds, I wanted to hit my kids. And it was like every day I just had to pray that if hard experiences came, that the Lord would give me a choice. I feel like it's so hard because oftentimes we look at God and we say, take this away from me, when in reality, he gave us agency. And for me, the prayer that I would pray was, Lord, give me an option of to do this or to not. And I, like, literally, that was me being able to get rid of it, was practicing that option over and over. My physical body, because of the way that I was raised, because of those traumatic experiences, would instantly want to behave one way. And yet the spirit would say, is that how you want to react? And I had to fight against it. And so it took me a long time to not have that traumatic like response. But I think as we continue to seek the Spirit, as we continue to ask our Heavenly Father to bless us with the ability to choose, whether it's swearing, whether it's hitting, whether it's yelling, whether it's being offended, there's obviously lots of work I still have to do in lots of areas of my life. But when we pray for that specific opportunity to choose, the Spirit will stop you and he will say, do you want to react that way? Do you want to say that thing? And you get to choose. And I think that's reality, that that's the biggest part of agency for me.
I love that you work so closely with the Spirit. I don't think that I've ever heard it put that way, that you have worked with the Spirit to help you to know what to say. And I just learned something today from you. So
I was going to say that was like a light bulb moment.
Yeah.
Right there. Mm-hmm. When you said that oftentimes we ask our Father in heaven to take things away from us, whether they be desires or thoughts or anything. But just like you, in a way, if he were to take those things away from us, that would be taking away part of our agency.
Right.
And yeah, that was like a aha moment. So thank you.
I know you gotta love those moments, right? I feel like that was like the Spirit taught me that, because I remember actually vividly the first time I had really felt like I wanted to hit my kid, hit my daughter. She was like 1.5 years old and she was throwing a fit, and I was exhausted and pregnant and all of the things. And I literally wanted to just grab her arm and like shake her and tell her to stop. And I literally started praying and I said, I don't want to be like my dad. Help me to take this away from me, take this away from me. And instantly the Spirit said to me, I'm not going to remove anything from you, but I will give you the opportunity to choose. And that was, after that was me praying for opportunities to choose. And I think that in some ways, like, that's a good thing, but you also have to remember that he's going to give you experiences. He's not just going to be like, okay, here's the choice, and then not allow you to have experiences where your kids are hard or where people are difficult or where something triggers that desire. You're going to have more of them. So I think it's like a double-edged sword, but it's probably the biggest blessing that I've ever had.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah. So, okay, I'm going to go on to my next one. And I feel like I had to share that with my dad because I never imagined my dad like becoming kind of like one of my our guardian angels. But this story actually happens to be with Cooper too. But he was about, I think he was about 18 months old. And we lived in this house in Provo, in this older part of the neighborhood. And all of those houses have really big window, like, well, I don't know if they're called window wells, but like sills, like where you can sit inside the house and be in the window. And I always made sure they were locked because the kids always like to climb up there. And I was in the kitchen and I was doing probably dishes again. And just the mundane mom things you do. And I had felt, or I'd heard a voice, and it was of the voice of a man. And I recognized it, but I didn't really put two and two together. It just felt familiar to me. And it said, go find Cooper right now. And instantly I just stopped what I was doing. And I'm running kind of all around the house trying to find him, calling out his name. And I walked into our playroom and he was standing in that window well, or that windowsill. And he was in a little diaper, his chubby little baby, and he had his hands against the screen. So the window, for some reason, was open and his hands were against the screen. And the closer that I got to him, the more I realized that that screen was coming out. And so three of the corners were actually already out. I don't know how he didn't fall, but I ran to him. And as soon as I grabbed around his waist, I can see his hand against the screen and I instantly see hands pushing back. And I just knew, I knew it was my dad. I knew that he was there and that he was protecting Cooper. And that, like, the reality is, it's like we pray and we ask for help, but I think we often forget how literal it is. And it was so crazy because my husband went to go put the screen back in and the drop was like 12 feet. So it was 12 feet to cement. And there were still handprints on the exterior of the screen. I wish I'd taken a picture. That was back before like social media and you like think to record everything, but so rad. So there's so many times like now I'll pray specifically for ancestors or for people from like the scriptures, that they'll be able to be with my children or they'll be with my family members or that they can be with me. There was another really, I had a lot of really just very direct experiences when my kids were little. And there was an experience when we were living in Provo, and that part of the area, there was a lot of transient people. So there was a lot of homeless people. There were a lot of people walking in and out, probably people that were on drugs. It was just kind of the area we lived in and we knew it. And so we always made sure our windows and doors were locked. And one night, we'd like gone through all of our routine, made sure all the windows were locked, locked the door. And it was about 2 a.m. and my daughter, I'd only had her at the time. So she was like 6 or 7 months old and she woke up and she was freaking out at 2 a.m. And so I get up and I'm like trying to help her and trying to get her to calm down. And she had a little bit of a fever. So I was just like, you know, bouncing her, loving her. And I'd finally gotten her to calm down and fall asleep in my arms. And I had sat down on the couch and I was just kind of holding her. And all of a sudden the spirit said, go lock the door. And I was like, I don't want to get up. Like, I just barely got her to sleep. I don't want to get up. I already know we locked the door. Like, we check it every night. And again, the spirit said, lock the door. And I kind of got a little nervous. And I was like, oh my gosh, do I get up? Like, I'm scared to get up now. And then a third time, it was like, lock the door now. And I jumped up and I locked the door. And as soon as I went to sit back down on the couch, the door handle started moving. Like vigorously. And I just sat there and I prayed and I didn't even dare move. I didn't wake up my husband because I was too afraid to move. But I think like so often, like we have promptings and the Lord knows sometimes I'm not always great at the first time or the second time, but he'll get me on that third one. So kind of cool. This is another little experience I felt to share. So growing up, it was kind of crazy, right? And we were living at this time in a, I think we were in a government house, like housing situation. And we had lived in this area that was a couple blocks away from like the drive-in theater. Like, you know how they used to take your car and you could go and watch movies. Well, we didn't have a car, but we could walk over to this field and we could watch the movie without any sound. And it was just like something free to do and fun. But my sister and I had gone swimming earlier that day. So we got home and nobody was there, but they had left a note letting us know, oh, we're over in the field. It was probably like 10:30 at night. And when we walked in, I just had felt this feeling like something was off. There was something wrong. And I had like a cousin that was autistic growing up. His name was Fernando. And he was just like my best friend. Like, he would come over all the time. He was obsessed with me. And he called me Missy. That was my nickname from him. And he loved like wrestling. So we would always watch like WWF, like the fake wrestling. And like, he was obsessed with like string. And so he would always have string in his hands playing with it. And he'd stayed over with us a lot when we were living there because we had a house to live in. And so he would come over and stay. And I had this just feeling of uneasiness, both my sister and I. And then one thing that he did, he would always blow on my cheek. So he would come up to me and he would blow on my cheek and he would tell me hi and, you know, hug me. And then that was that. And all of a sudden I was standing in the front room with my sister feeling super uneasy. And all of a sudden I hear him and he said, Missy, it's going to be okay. And I felt this breeze just come right across my cheek. And I just instantly was like, something's wrong. And so we were walking over to the field and my dad and my three younger brothers were coming back and they were all bawling hysterically. And they're like, Fernando died. And my dad actually had a warrant out for his arrest for a DUI. And so he couldn't stay at the scene. So he actually had left. I guess he had gotten hit by a car and he left my mom there and he sent my sister and I over to make sure my mom was okay, which looking back now, I'm like, why would you do that to like a 12-year-old? So we went over and my mom was there and we saw like the whole situation. It was like super graphic and terrible, but literally for even sometimes still, like if I'm having a rough moment or something's going wrong, I'll just feel this breeze across my cheek where I just know like that's him saying it's going to be okay. And this, it's almost like, you know, the spirit also tells me like, it's okay. Like you have people looking over you. And even when we forget people or they pass on, they're still there. They're still with us. They're still watching over us and they have assignments from heaven. And I just love that. It's just like such a simple reminder of like how real heaven is and how close it is. So the other one I wanted to share is a little bit of a different, experience. So sometimes Heavenly Father just tells me things like, he'll be like, you need to tell this person this specific thing. And I used to be really, really bad at it because it's scary. And I'm like, why am I saying this? This like makes zero sense. But, I was a couple of years ago, I was walking through Walmart. And I'm getting ready to leave and I'm having like the worst day. You know, like those days where you're just like, oh my gosh, can we just go to sleep so we can start over and everything will be okay again? It was literally one of those days. And like, you know, at this point I have teenagers and they're just like, so I love teenagers. Teenagers are the best. I know you guys have kids, right? And they're younger. Mm-hmm. And everybody says teenagers are awful. I promise you, they're the best thing in the world. Like, don't ever let anybody tell you otherwise. They can be tricky sometimes. And that day was a particularly tricky day. And I'm like walking through Walmart, just kind of having my own mom time. And I see this Walmart employee and she is so cute. She has like dark hair and it's curly. And she, all of a sudden I see this woman standing next to her and she is older and she has gray hair And she's standing so close to her. And then she looks at me and she says, I need you to tell her that I'm here. And all of a sudden I realize, oh my gosh, that's not like a real person. Like, what's going on? And I don't want to do this. One, I'm grumpy. Two, I feel so dumb. And like, what if it's not like real? Like, what if she doesn't understand? And I'm like walking with my cart. And then all of a sudden I just am like, hi, I just have to tell you something. And she's like, okay. And I'm like, I know this is going to sound so random, but I can see a lady standing next to you and she has gray hair and she's about this tall. And she wanted me to tell you she's with you. And then all of a sudden that old lady says, and tell her that I love her and that I haven't left her. And then I said, and she loves you and she hasn't left you. And she just starts crying, just hysterically bawling. And I'm crying now because you can just feel the spirit. It's almost like in this moment, the only two people in the whole world that existed was this woman and myself. And she just hugged me. And as she's hugging me, she just whispers to me, that's my abuela. She died 3 days ago. And, you know, I think, you know, we have experiences like that that are so big. And we can have experiences like that that are so great. But I think that all of the small experiences that I had with the spirit telling me to things and to say things have led to grander experiences. And I think that's because in so many ways, the Lord knows I will listen. He knows that if there's an errand to run, that I'm going to do it. Even if it's in a Walmart store, telling a lady that there's a lady standing next to her and she can't see her.
I was going to ask you, I mean, you basically answered it, but I think that we've said this on the show before. It's like, man, like, what do I have to do to get those experiences, right? Like, and I know that other people are going to think the same thing. And I've never heard it again. I'm learning so much from you. Is that, you know, the more we ask, the more we pray, the more we listen, the grander those promptings will come and he will speak to us and share. But there's been so many times that in your story, I'm like, man, I wish I could have those experiences or feel that, you know, but yeah, you answered that perfectly. So thank you.
Well, I think honestly, like a lot of times with that, it was experiences with my children. I think being a mother has taught me to be the best listener. You know, like how often do we pray for our children? And, you know, one thing that I learned when my kids started becoming teenagers specifically, because you can tell little kid things and they're easy to comfort and easy to help. But I think with teenagers, they need more. And I think like as parents and as adults, we don't have enough to give. Like we want to have the right things to say. And the only way we're going to be able to say the right things is if we pray that when we're speaking to our children, that the spirit will guide our words. And that's one thing that I've just really learned is that through being a mother, I will pray and say, help me to be there in the exact moment that I need to. And oftentimes it's the most inconvenient moment. It's when I'm sweeping and mopping the floor or doing the dishes and I'm covered in soap, or in the middle of switching laundry and you just want to finish putting the stuff in the washer to the dryer, and the spirit will say, go to your child's room and just sit on the bed. And you go to their room and you sit there awkwardly for several minutes. And then all of a sudden they open up and they'll start talking. And I think that that's like how we have those experiences, is by listening every day and by seeking the spirit every single day. The scriptures say that everything that we need and everything that we need to do will always be told to us by the Comforter, because he's the communicator for our Heavenly Father. And I think if we just get really good at listening to the most inconvenient motherhood and fatherhood experiences, that they'll just be, they'll lead us to greater experiences that really change our hearts. And I think that's one thing I love so much about your podcast is that you're sharing experiences of other people, and those experiences change that individual. But listening to those experiences changes us. And it helps us to want and desire more to be like Jesus Christ and to listen to the Spirit and to be like that person in the whatever attribute that they're emulating. And the only way that they're possible, they're capable of emulating that attribute is through our Savior Jesus Christ. And the more that we pray for those experiences and those inconvenient moments, the more that they'll be given to us.
Your kids are so freaking lucky to have as a mom. Like, seriously, you are so amazing.
No, I have the best kids and I have the best husband. Like, seriously, my husband is, I'm so excited for you guys to be able to talk to him next week because he is the literal example to me of listening to the Spirit. Like, I told him, you have to share these couple of stories because it's literally like, it's literally my most uncomfortable promptings and requests that the Spirit asked him to do that have the most amazing results. And so honestly, like, I wish I could take credit for like being awesome and amazing, but truthfully, one, the Spirit, two, my husband, like, so cool.
Well, it sounds like from your stories that he could do a little bit more dishes or the laundry or sweeping.
So about, no, he actually, you know what? My husband's the best. I do have to tell, I'll have to just give this shout out to him because every Saturday morning he lets me sleep in and he gets up and does all of the cleaning on the main level. So the, and puts on like, you know, church music or some good devotional and literally sets the tone for our whole weekend to just be good. So I'll do the dishes all wrong and then he just like rocks it on Saturday morning. So.
Well, great. Now I know what I'm going to be doing Saturday
morning. Yes, yes.
That sounds like a great idea and trade.
I know. It's so true.
I'll do them all week. You clean the whole house on Saturdays. That's a great deal.
It is. And especially when you have teenagers because they sleep in. And then if you're an early riser, you just get it all done. Yeah. I don't get early on Saturdays, though. My friend's like, it's fine. She sleeps in on Saturdays. It's kind of a running joke, but. It's okay. I wrote down like a couple stories. So let me see which ones are. I think that one of the biggest things that the Spirit ever has done for me, like as far, I mean, it's done lots of things, but one thing that is like a constant theme in my life is like his protection over me. I think if we can get really good at listening to the Holy Ghost, then we really don't have to fear terrible, terrible things happening. I mean, obviously they do, but if we can listen, then it just prevents a lot of things. There was an experience when I was 11. I was at a sleepover and, you know, just kind of like a normal family house. It was actually a lot better family than I felt like I had. They were super cool, had lots of cool things at their house. And we were having like a birthday party sleepover. We all brought our sleeping bags and there was probably like six girls. And we were like 11, 12 years old. And we had gone to sleep and I had woken up in the middle of the night and I had heard a voice and it said, crawl down to the bottom of your sleeping bag. And I was like, oh my gosh. But it was such a strong feeling and prompting that it like elicited like fear in me. And I climbed all the way down to the very bottom of my sleeping bag and I couldn't breathe and it was so hot, but I just felt very strongly, you need to stay right here in this little pocket of your sleeping bag. And I didn't go back to sleep because I was so afraid. And all of a sudden I hear footsteps walking around to different girls and there was all of a sudden they stopped right where my sleeping bag was and they started rustling through the top of the bag and they couldn't feel me. And I just literally prayed and I prayed that they wouldn't be able to reach to the bottom of the bag. And I heard lots of things kind of going on in the, you know, around me. And it was very scary and kind of a little bit like, you know, graphic. So I'm not going to explain that, But we had gotten up the next morning and I found out that three of the girls were sexually assaulted. And, you know, I'm not saying like those girls didn't listen or that bad things aren't going to happen if we, you know, if we're not close enough to the spirit. Obviously bad things happen and we learn from them and we grow from them. But in that moment, it was like, I knew that the Lord knew me. I knew that like the way that I grew up and having so many different promptings that kept me safe, I knew in that moment that if I stayed and listened and tucked myself away, that I would be okay. And I think that when we are willing to just submit ourselves and to do the things that don't make sense, and especially like the uncomfortable things, like not being able to breathe down there, you know, we can be protected. You know, my husband and I grew up very similar. And when we first started dating, we lived together and we were living in this tiny little apartment. And I never met his mom because she had passed away actually maybe a month before we started to date. And she had died of a drug overdose. And I had always seen pictures of her. Like my husband showed me tons of pictures and, you know, everybody talked about her. And well, one morning he like had gotten up and gone to work and I had worked later and was going to work later in the day. And all of a sudden I hear it was almost like our door opened to our bedroom. And the way that our bedroom was, is it was very odd shaped, but there was like this, space that kind of was the perfect size for a bed, but it went back behind the wall. So you were kind of tucked into a coat. And all of a sudden, I just hear a woman's voice. And I hear, Adam J. And I kind of got scared. I was like, oh my gosh, somebody's in our apartment. Like, what do I do? And I hear it again. And it was like, all of a sudden, it came with this feeling of peace. Like, everything's going to be okay. And so I kind of snuck up and I looked around the corner and there's this woman standing there. And she literally, like, it was Adam's mom. I was like, I swear that's his mom. And she just looked at me and she smiled and she kind of just nodded her head. And I like instantly jerked back into the bed because I was like, oh my gosh, there's a woman here. And then I, of course, peeked back out because I'm curious and she was gone. But all of a sudden, I just felt this feeling like confirmed to me that she was okay with me dating Adam and that she wanted us to be together. And it was so funny because when he came home from work, I told him about what had happened and he just started crying. And he said, my mom was the only one that called me Adam J. Like that was what I was called growing up. And I feel like in a way, like that was like her saying, like, I know that you'll be okay together. And that because you grew up in the same circumstances, you'll be able to understand each other. So I just love that. There was another experience that I just wanted to share is there was a woman. So I feel like I have a lot of experiences like at the grocery store. Where like I'll be walking and like, especially like with like old people, even though this isn't a story about an older person, but the spirit will literally be like, you need to just go up to them and say hi to them. Like, I think that's one thing we've really lost in our society and in our culture is the ability to just communicate love with people we don't even know. And I'll share this story real quick before I share my other one. But I was at Smith's. It's a grocery store that's local. And there was this cute old lady and she was just walking around. She had a couple of things in her cart and I passed her and I just thought I should talk to her. And I was just a little bit feeling, I think, you know, just insecurities of life and struggles. And I kind of brushed it off. And then I was like, okay, I'm like, Father, I'm sorry. I'll go see if I can find her. And I did. And I was walking past her and I just said, hi, how are you? Like, as if I knew her. And she goes, hi. And I was like, how are you doing? And she's like, I'm doing okay. And she's like, how are you doing? I'm like, I'm good. I just wanted to say hi and see how your day was going. And she's like, all of a sudden, she just started crying. And I was like, oh, are you okay? I'm like, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bother you. And she goes, no, I just came to the grocery store because I wanted to talk to somebody.
Oh my God.
I just wanted somebody to say hi to me. And so we sat there and talked about her cats and we talked about, you know, like some flowers in her garden that she planted, and I told her about my kids. And I think that I've done that so many times, like in restaurants where like I'll be getting up to go, you know, go to the bathroom, and I'll pass an older, especially older women and older men, where I'll just stop them and I'll ask them how they're, and they're like, do I know you? And I'm like, no, I'm just really friendly, and I just wanted to say hi and see how you were. And it's so fun to kind of see like their reactions and the love that they have and the love that they need. I think that's the reality, is that they probably spent most of their life giving, and then all of a sudden they're at this point of their life where they're returning to need love, and we miss it. So yeah, I'll just put a plug out there for us to all be a little kinder to the elderly. But there was another time that I was actually at a store, and there was a woman, and I could tell, I mean, you can visibly see people when they're a little bit distraught or down or having a hard time. And I think in those moments, like, that's the spirit helping us recognize something. And I think so often we lean towards being afraid or not wanting to bother them, but them looking like they want to be alone. And I think it's so far from the truth. And, I'd kind of been watching her, you know, we were shopping and I passed her a couple times. I didn't really feel like I had something to say to her. But I just kind of had this prayer in my heart. Like, if there's something, Lord, that you need me to tell her, help me to know what it is. Cause I feel her sadness. I can feel her pain, but I don't know what it is. And I don't know what to say. And we got to the aisle of like the frozen ice cream, you know. And all of a sudden I saw her again, and the spirit said, you need to tell her that I love her. You need to tell her that I love her and that I'm aware of her and the pain that she feels. And so I just walked up to her and I just said, I put my hand on her shoulder and I said, I'm so sorry to bother you, but I just have this feeling I need to share something with you. Is that okay? And she said, yes, yes. It was almost like she was the most eager person in the world, just waiting for a message from heaven. And I just looked at her and I said, you know, the Lord wants me to tell you that you are loved, that he's aware of you, and that he's aware of the things that you're going through. And I don't know what they are, but I know that the Lord does. And then the spirit said, you need to ask her if you can pray for her right now. And I was like, okay. So I asked her, and of course I asked the spirit to guide me, and I prayed, and I don't remember the words that came out of my mouth, but I know that they were not mine. They were the words of the spirit. And we got done and she hugged me for a really long time. We didn't say anything. And people were walking around us, you know, like, but it was almost like nothing else mattered in that moment. And so she got done and she said, I just have to tell you. She said, I miscarried this morning. And she said, I didn't want to be alone. And so I came to the store so that I couldn't, so I wouldn't have to be alone. And I think, how often do we miss that? How often do we miss being on the Lord's errand? You know, I know you have young kids, so this is another story I'm just going to share that maybe will help you to see maybe where our ministry can be with young children. So when we lived with young kids, we lived in that area of Provo that just had a lot of elderly people, a lot of transient people, a lot of different, you know, types of lifestyles. And there was this darling old man that lived across the street from us, and he was probably in his 80s, I guess, and he was kind of to himself, you know, like would say hi to us, would wave to us, but you know, just to himself. And I had felt this, just, you know, I think the spirit just tells us in our thoughts. It's not always like a prompting, it's not always like do this, do that. Sometimes it's just like a desire. Go do something good for somebody. And so one thing we loved to do when my kids were little is we would heart attack people's doors. We would just like heart attack the door. Because kids love to come from things. They love to be sneaky. And if you're like putting a bunch of things on somebody's door and they just get a kick out of it, especially if they can like doorbell ditch, right? So it's like any type of running away. And I'll even do this like now with my neighbor kids, because all my little neighbor friends like to come over and play with us. And so we'll all like, I'll have them do sneaky things to each other and they love it. But this particular morning I was like, oh, you should heart attack this guy's door. And so I gathered all my kids and we're making hearts and they're also fighting. It's not like all this glorious, you know, moment that you're just like imagining it's going to be, they're yelling at each other because somebody stole the crayon, somebody took their favorite marker, and somebody drew an ugly heart, and all the things that come along with having little kids. And you're over here like, oh my gosh, I'm just trying to do something good, and you're literally, I'm going to kill all of you. Like, it's just kind of that feeling, right? And so we gathered all our hearts and we're going across the street and my daughter's crying because she's mad because she doesn't have enough hearts in her hand. And I realized, like, we get to the door and I realize, oh my gosh, we forgot the freaking tape. Like, we forgot the freaking tape. Like, I'm not going back across the street to get the tape. And he has like one of these old, you know, mailbox things that open and closes. And I'm like, we're just going to shove them in there. Like, this is it. Like, that's what he gets. It's a bunch of hearts on his floor. So we start shoving them in there. And all of a sudden, we just hear this laughter, like this old man, like laughing hysterically. And the girls are giggling because they can hear him. And one of them peeks in there and they can see him. And he's standing there laughing. And he, anyway, he ends up opening the door. And we're just like visiting with him and talking with him. And he just, you know, started talking about his wife and how much he was missing her that day. And it wasn't like Grant, you know, I'm sure like he would have been fine without it, but it was just like one of those moments where you realize like you were the ease to their burden in a way. And I think that's one thing that's so beautiful about little kids is that you can instill something so great in them. And that's one thing I love about my kids now is that they will have impressions and promptings of their own. And, my husband is the bishop. That's kind of like a pastor or, you know, something like that in other religions. But so he carries a lot and he carries a lot of other people's burdens and has a lot of things that he holds for others and makes space for. And it was so cute because I was at the store the other day with my daughter, Brooklyn, and she is 19 and we're at the store. And I'm like, I just have this feeling we should do something nice for somebody today. And she goes, I think we should do something nice for dad. And I was like, oh, yeah, like, of course, like, I didn't even think of that. And so we, you know, get his favorite treats and we go home and we make him a poster, best dad ever. And then my daughter draws this really funny picture of him that doesn't really look like him, but kind of looks like him because it's small. And it was just kind of comical. And we're thinking, oh, he's going to feel loved. And so my two daughters were there and, you know, he comes in and he's kind of acting awkward. Like, they're like, we have this thing for you. And he's kind of acting awkward. And we're like, okay, what do we do? So we give it to him. The girls give it to him. And then all of a sudden he just is standing there and almost like, did you not appreciate the gift? Like, we couldn't tell. Like, it was almost like, what do we do? And then all of a sudden he just starts crying. And my husband is not a crier. He's not like one to break down. I swear my girls were almost like, what do we do in this moment? Because dad's crying. And he said, I was in the car for 10 minutes before I could come in, just trying to gather myself so that I could come in and be what you guys needed me to be. And you knew that I needed to be loved. And I think sometimes we underestimate the power of love that we have for one another, the power of our kind gestures of getting their favorite treat, of writing them a note, of sending a nice text. And I think, you know, there's that quote that says the greatest love or greatest work you'll ever do are within the walls of your home. And I think that comes in so many ways. One, that we are literally there for each other. The Lord gave us to each other so we could lift each other, so that we could carry each other's burdens, so that we could follow the promptings of the Spirit and be what we need each other to be. And then the other thing is just our example. Like, one thing the Spirit is just constantly reminded me over the last couple of years is somebody's always watching you. Like, whether that's like angels or whether that's people. And we cannot underestimate the power of the goodness that we do that other people observe. And that's one of the reasons I actually feel like the Lord wanted me to start posting stories online is because people see things and they learn. People see things and they change. They hear things and they feel things. And it's like our hearts have become so hardened. And when we hear stories and when we share stories and when we constantly open up our hearts to those sharing those things, it's like tiny pieces chip away. And the more that we hear them, the more that we we read them, the more that we surround ourselves with that goodness, the more we're soft and we're able to hear the Spirit and we're able to be what the Lord needs us to be for each other and for those around us. So,
oh my gosh.
Sorry.
I actually am very speechless right now. I've learned so much from you, and I'm so thankful for you for coming and sharing all of these amazing stories and beautiful stories and just learning. It's just been a great hour.
This is exactly why we started our show. Is I feel like I'm a really good teacher, and I feel like I can speak with the Spirit. Just kidding, not always. But people don't want to hear from me. We need to hear from different people all the time. And we need to be able to feel the Spirit when they're speaking. And because He's the real teacher, right? And it's, you're just an angel that is being used to help teach and help feel of His love. And it was all so beautiful, and I wish we had another 3 hours that we could sit here and listen to some of more stories, because I know you have them. But I did have one question. There's, and you brought it up multiple times, where you were told to say a prayer, and like your first story that you shared with your son, I have a similar experience with that, where I was up on a backpacking trip with my brothers and some of my best friends, and we got in a pretty sticky situation. And one of my best friend's dad, we were able to kind of timestamp different things, but he was told to say a prayer for us. And I've heard other stories like that and stuff, and I kind of have my own thoughts and understandings of this, but I wanted to get your opinion. God obviously knows what we need and when we need it. Why do you think that in certain moments you were, like the experience with your son, for example, when he was on the mountain, that you were told in that moment to pray for him? Couldn't God have just answered the prayer without you praying it? Right? Those are the thoughts that I think we have a lot. Why were you told to pray? What are your thoughts on that?
I think this is something I've actually been thinking about a lot lately. I think that the Lord wants us to pray because it changes us. He can give us all the protection in the world. He can do any miraculous thing. He can heal somebody. But the only way that we become changed is through our experiences. And prayer is the ultimate experience that we get to spend with our Heavenly Father. You know, I listened to this podcast just earlier, maybe last week, where it was this guy. And he was talking, he was actually a devil worshiper for a very long time. And he was talking about how part of his commission from the adversary was actually to target Christians. And he had, you know, prayed lots of things upon them through the power of the adversary, which we know is great and we underestimate it. And there was a lady that worked above him, and she was having a really hard time reaching this specific church leader. Like everything that she would try to target him with, it was never enough. Like it just couldn't get to him. And so she asked him for help. And it was actually the very thing that got him away from it, is all of a sudden he asked himself, if we can't reach him, why can't we reach him? And the Holy Ghost took hold of his heart and said, it's because all of his congregation is praying for him and praying for protection over him. And I think it comes back to agency. You know, like the Lord can do all things, and he will in his timing, but he wants us to use our agency for good. And when we call upon God, when we call upon angels, that's us maximizing our agency. I think that in and of itself is the greatest use of agency. And we have to put off the natural man. We have to put aside ourselves, and we have to call upon God, one, recognizing our own weakness and inability, and recognize that he's the creator and that he has all power. And I think that when we pray, knowing that within the depths of our heart, that's when we see miracles. You know, it's just like with your was it your father-in-law or your dad? Who was that that prayed for you?
My best friend's dad.
Your best friend's dad. You know, how much did that change him? How much did it change you? The Lord asked him to pray, not because he couldn't do it without it, but because he knew asking him to pray would change him and it would change you forever. And I think that for me, that's the answer that I have, is that the only reason he asks us to pray and that we get promptings to pray is because he knows it'll soften us. He knows that we'll see the miracles that came with it.
Yeah. And you said it so much better than I could have. So, but yes, some of those same thoughts. I think a lot of it comes down to agency, and we are agents, and we had Brad Wilcox on recently, and he talked about, he does a little hand gesture. He says, God's not a puppet master up there with, you know, and even though he could, right? Technically he could, but we need him, or we need to ask him to intervene in our lives and to protect us and everything. You said it so beautifully.
Let me add just really quick to that. I know we're kind of getting to the end, but you know, the Lord doesn't just put people in our mind because we need to serve them. I think one thing I've learned over the last year is more often than not, he puts people in our minds so we can pray for them. I was walking into the grocery store, this was probably like 2 years ago, and as I was walking in, there was a construction worker walking out. He's probably like 24, 25. He looked really worn, really sad. And, you know, I'm not just going to walk up to a construction worker and say, hey, how are you? You know, it's a lot different than maybe somebody that's elderly. But as I was walking past him, I said, Lord, why did you want me to notice him? And he said, because I wanted you to pray for him. And, you know, I prayed for him. And then the thought came to me, what if you're the only one praying for him? And, you know, I think about that so often. Like, we pray for our loved ones, we pray for those that we care about. But, you know, one way the Lord's really speaks to me is through dreams. I have dreams every night and I dream about different people. And I've just come to the conclusion that when I dream about somebody, that's the Lord's way of saying, I need you to pray for them. So when I wake up in the morning and I remember my dream and somebody's in it, whether it's a friend, a family member, somebody that I barely know, I offer a prayer for them. And I don't just pray for them that the Lord will bless them. I ask that the Holy Ghost will guide me in that prayer, that the Holy Ghost will be able to tell me the things that they stand in need of, and that I can pray for them in a way that the Lord would have me pray. And I can tell you that of every single thing I've done, whether the physical service, the talking to people, the most heart-changing like experiences I have had are on my knees with the Holy Ghost, telling me what to say, telling me the things that people need. So I don't know, I'm a big believer that the best thing that we could ever offer somebody, you know, you're sitting in church and you see somebody struggling with their kids, and you think that sucks, that's so hard. I totally get that. Totally get that. And also pray. Totally understand that. Pray. Look at somebody, they're going through a trial, you don't understand. Nope, don't understand it. Can't empathize. Pray. And you pray with the Holy Ghost. I think that's the biggest gift that the Lord has ever given me, is the reminder that when I prepare myself in prayer, before I start praying and I ask that the Spirit be with me and guide me, completely different prayer. And I know how powerful prayers are because I will tell you right now, Satan wants me to do everything else in the morning before I pray. He wants me to do everything in the nighttime before I pray. Like his hardest work against me is literally trying to prevent me to get on my knees.
I can speak for both Michaela and I and all of our listeners. I hope that I can speak for all of our listeners. My prayers tonight will be a little bit different. And I want to be like Alicia.
Oh, thank you.
I think you're incredible. Mm-hmm. I'm so grateful that we were able to make this work and that you were able to get on here. And I have a feeling next week I'm going to be saying, I want to be like Adam.
You will be, because that's who I try to be like.
Oh, man.
You have anything else, babe?
No, it's just all so wonderful. And I just can't wait to do more and be better because of you coming on the show. Like, it's just, I'm just so grateful for you and Angels Among Us. And yeah, sorry, I'm a sap right now. So
no, it's okay. I get being a sap.
Yeah.
All right. Well, before you go, we have to ask you to share one thing that you know to be true.
I know to be true that that Jesus Christ is our Savior, that he wants us to pray, that he wants us to love others, and he wants us to look a little bit further outside of ourselves.
Mm. Amen.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Amen times 1,000 with everything that you said today. So thank you again so much. It means the world to us. And mm-hmm. I'm so grateful that we get to see over and over and over again why we were prompted to start this show. So thank you for being a large piece to the puzzle.
And an angel.
Oh, yes. Thanks for having me and thanks for providing such beautiful content that changes other people's hearts.
Well, speaking of hearts, now I have an idea to do with the kids tomorrow. So thanks.
All right. We'll let everybody get out of here. Go look for those angels.
Thanks for joining us on Angels Among Us. You can find us on YouTube and wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow along for more stories of everyday miracles and reminders that angels are among us. If you have a story to share, please email or DM us with a brief summary. We'd love to hear from you. And remember, when we are waiting, God is working.
You know what quality feels like. You can see it in the way a fabric moves. Recognize it in a flawless fit and appreciate it in the details that make our styles unique. That kind of quality doesn't happen by accident. It happens with imagination, creativity, and intention. At Coldwater Creek, it's the design standard we've honored for over 40 years. Our rich mountain heritage has shaped how we think about clothing from the very beginning. With a commitment to quality that never quits. Exceptional fabrics, considered design, silhouettes we've made our own. The signature touches that set each piece apart and styles that are distinctively Coldwater Creek. For a wardrobe you can count on season after season, visit coldwatercreek.com. Shop new arrivals and save 15% on purchases $75 or more with code IHEART.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands you need. From athletic stuff, like a full court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff, like a half mile stroll. Get those steps in! And for morning hikes up the mountain trail, good pace, to nighttime ghost stories from the camping chair. What a twist! Whatever level of active, Sierra loves it all. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.